Lads, life can take you to mad places sometimes, like this place. Space expert Dr. Neve Shaw wanted to go to space, but she's ended up going to Antarctica and the desert. So I had to get her in to see what the hell is going on. Where are you going and why are you going and what's going on with you?
Well, it's all about space. It is. It is actually. It is actually all about, you know, keeping out of my comfort zone and living on the edge, because space has nothing. So the places I'm going to has nothing. So that's the connection with that. So I'm off next week to Botswana.
Botswana. Tell me, what's in Botswana?
I've never been to
Africa
before. So people are doing amazing things all the time, right? And scientists are all over the world doing crazy things. And I was working with this group of people called Europlanet, and they represent what's a type of science known as geoscience. And they fund scientists to go to, they have one of seven locations around the world. They've got Greenland, they've got Botswana, they've got a place in Ethiopia. And these are extreme environments where they can be in the field conducting experiments to understand our planet better, but also to understand planets outside our within our solar system. And this one is about Mars. So I'm going to a salt pan
You're going to a what? Sorry?
Madigadigadi salt pan. And a salt pan is basically they reckoned that the sea used to flow into this lake thousands of years ago, prehistoric time. And now all it does is it sort of fills up during the wet season. And so during the dry season, it's a field day for scientists to try and understand Earth from in the past. But also there are parts of it that are very like the surface of Mars. So the team I'm going with, which is a team from Ethiopia, I'm kind of basically shadowing them. And we'll be looking at these mound shapes, which they believe are indicators of the presence of water. And if they can prove it in the Makgadigadi plains, then they can also then, I think about an instrument or something that they can use then for Mars. So 6 days, no toilets, no showers.
Why do you do this to yourself?
Because I want to know what happens. I'm terrified. I'm absolutely terrified.
Yeah, are you anxious about the trip? Because
I haven't really had time to think about it. And the lads that are going are like, they're very sort of, you know those kind of men that they just sort of say two words and that's a sentence. You know those kind of people. They're like that. And of course, you know me, 15 words minimum.
You do the talking for everybody.
I do the talking for everybody. So I'm going, and can you tell me now, what's the weather like? You'll find out. And can you tell me now? Now, there's no toilets. Yeah, you know, so I have absolutely no information. So I've just been doing my own reading and I have no idea what I'm going into. No idea. I know that it's safe in terms of malaria.
Okay.
And I just have to bring Mozzie spray.
Okay, 6 days.
6 nights. 6 days and 6 nights in the middle of nothing.
Okay. All in the name of science.
All in the name of science. Because I like
love
them.
That. You love
I
that.
I do. And my job is to kind of go in, like, I like not knowing without it being dangerous, because I like to kind of go in as if somebody just left the kitchen sink and walked out the door. And I'm kind of trying to give that viewpoint so that we all learn about what these places are like and we all learn about what science can happen.
Are you confident you will learn something when you go there?
My God,
I mean, have you
yeah.
ever been on these things and gone, oh, well, we didn't actually learn anything. That was a complete waste of time.
Some of them are better than others, but I've never been in Africa.
Okay.
I've never been in the Kalahari Desert. I've no idea how I'm going to cope. And that's the point. The point is, how do humans cope in extreme environments? So that's the space thing for me, because that's always what I'm anxious about going to space, is this out of your depth kind of thing. And then, you know, in the name of science, what do people put themselves through? So the closest thing I've had to this was that, you know, that Mars mission that I did in the Utah desert. And what it did was it completely changed my appreciation for water, for like
now
showers.
Now, I have an appreciation for water after our chat.
Really?
About, yeah, I do.
Brilliant.
I'm very, very conscious about leaving the tap on when I'm brushing my teeth now and all those little things. I'm very, very after our chat. And I'm sure a lot of people felt like that because you had a huge, obviously you went on this expedition. You had this, you know, you didn't have a lot of water, and every time you used it, there was this big pump and everybody knew you were using the water and you had this new appreciation. Yeah. And I suppose when you do these expeditions, you get a great perspective on your own life as well.
Tell me
about the Antarctica then.
So Antarctica is mega. Like, I've been planning this I've always wanted to go to the Antarctica because I'm a massive Tom Crean fan. So he's an Irish man who was an incredible, like, this strength behind the actual mission to for, you know, the infamous Robert Scott mission to the South Pole and Shackleton's mission where they were stuck on the ice for 2 years. Tom Crean is a massive part in that story. But for me, this is a women in leadership program that I had been trying to get on for a number of years. It's called Homeward Bound. It's an Australian based. Other Irish women have been on it, like Tara Shine. She's a real champion for climate change, and it really, really helped her career and understand climate change in a different way. So I got a place on the sixth cohort. They're going to have 10 cohorts of 100 women on this leadership program, and it culminates in 3 weeks together, 100 women on this boat headed to the Antarctic. And the point is to help women empower themselves to stand up and take their place at the table, because we do have a tendency to step back, and scientists, and particularly female scientists. So it's about, no, you have an opinion. This is what you're going to say, and empower yourself, and don't let somebody take your place. Like, men are much better for stepping forward when they're asked to do things. So mm-hmm. So it's about that. It's also about, we're all educating ourselves about what skills do we have to help talk about climate change in a new way. And mine is humanizing. It's always about like this experience. So that's why I'm going to Botswana. That's why I did the Mars Desert Research Station. That's why I'm particularly interested in the Antarctic, because this is a place that we've heard of, which is in massive decline because of climate change, but it sort of feels too far away, and we've no concept of how to take ownership of that, because all we do is feel guilty around climate change, I find. Yeah. So is there something that I can do when I'm there that can, like you're talking about the water thing, is there something that I'll experience that can break it down and make people feel less guilty and kind of understand it better? So I'm on a boat with 100 other women from all over the world. We've all been working together online since the lockdown, having this training. And then we're going to spend 3 weeks voyaging around Antarctic, visiting some of the research stations, really to learn how to help each other. But for me, it's about living in the extremes. And again, what experience can I bring back? So everything I do, I bring my GoPro, I bring my voice recorder, I bring my phone, and it's capturing. And then it usually takes me about 3 months to actually think about what that experience was like.
To process the whole thing. Yeah. What are you more worried about, the heat in Africa or the cold in the Antarctica?
I think the heat, because we're used to like layering up,
yeah.
But I can't bear the heat. Thankfully, it's winter. It's wet. It's dry season for them at the moment. And so the temperatures are slightly cooler. So it's like it goes up to 29, which is grand. And then 7 degrees at night. And of course, the Antarctic then is extremely cold, you know. The Botswana thing, one thing, if you don't mind mentioning, is the Botswana one has been funded by the Botswana International University of Science and Technology. But I'm trying to raise money myself for the Antarctic mission. So a lot of the women on the programme, they are working for, we've got two other Irish women actually on the programme, Sheila McCormick, who's a lecturer from a Japanese university, and then Emer, she works at the EPA, Environmental Protection Agency. So a lot of them are supported by their organisations because they're already invested in climate change. I don't have anybody, Jen.
How do people help you out? Oh,
well, I've had one or two companies have been really good to support me, but I have to raise 15 grand and I've got 4 raised so far. So I have a GoFundMe page, which has helped Niamh get to Antarctica with women scientists, because then I'm off to the Arctic then next April, because I wanted to do the two. I wanted to do the two pole to pole. And it's all about...
Are you worried about this perspective you might get in the Antarctica, that it might be quite upsetting? You know what I mean? Because...
Yeah.
I mean, you need to be ready for that, right?
Yeah, I agree with you, and I think that's the thing. That's the thing that I leave myself open for, like how you feel in those moments, and capturing that, and capturing it really authentically. Just grab the camera, put it in front of myself, and if I'm angry or if I'm upset or whatever, I'll hold that, and then I can share it when I come back, because I think sometimes you have to go to these places. Even though that's an oxymoron around climate change, but sometimes you have to go to places in order to really understand, how can I explain what's happening here right now, you know, and that's what I'm hoping. But the other thing I want to do, and I would love to work with some women's groups on this, is when we were a new republic, you know, in 1923, we rewrote history and we obliterated women in our history. And of course, I'm going to champion female scientists. There are a ton of women that were championing science when they weren't even allowed to get their degrees. They still went to college. And mm-hmm. so there are at least like 9 or 10 women that I want to champion on this mission. So yes, it's about me, but it's also about everything I do is highlighting those women's stories. And I'd love to work with a women's group. I have this thing about, like, you know, the process of like women together making crafts, like, you know, like the American quilt kind of culture. I'd love to make like an American quilt with a bunch of women and maybe have every, you know, like be, let them be inspired, but tell the stories of these women from the past and see, can we create something that I can bring to the Antarctic and then maybe bring to the Arctic as well and to space when I get to go.
Okay, so on the opposite end, here's some macho news. What do you think of Elon Musk apparently and Mark Zuckerberg in a cage fight?
Is that actually true?
Is that true?
Is that actually
is that happening?
But that's art imitating
life. Do you want to go to that event? Because you go to everything else. Are you at that? Are you refereeing that
I
one?
I should be in the front there.
You should be in there.
I read that and I actually thought it was a joke. No, are you serious? That
it
happening?
Is. Yeah, apparently sources say.
That is insane.
Being an RTE, we have to check our sources a few times. Yes, apparently that is true. But what about the moon? When are we going there again?
2025. Elon could pip us to the post that. So the Artemis mission, which is the one I've been talking about these donkey's years. So that's the space agency mission, which is NASA and Europe is involved in that, the European Space Agency and Japan and Canada. So their third rocket launch is in 2025, scheduled for 2025, when a woman and a person of colour will set foot on the moon for the very first time. However, Elon, there at the weekend, so I subscribe to Elon and what he does is he does these private Twitter. You know the way they do the Twitter podcasty thing now? So he did one of those and he was talking about, so the last attempt, they did a test, remember back in April, mm-hmm. and all the sand went everywhere and their launch pad got destroyed because the rocket was so powerful. So they're really rushing to finish the new launch pad, which will have basically a hole for the rocket.
When they rush things, that always goes well, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, these guys are insane. Yeah. And so he's announced that he's going for it and he'll have it done. He's going to go again for another test launch by the end of this year. So they could actually get to the moon. His mission, Starship, which is the first mission will be full of six artists and this Japanese billionaire called Yusaku Maezawa. And one of those artists is an Irish girl, Rhiannon Adam. So we could have the SpaceX mission to the moon before the NASA mission to the moon.
Is it true you were at an event that he was speaking at?
Yes, in 2016.
What was that like?
Well, it was really weird. It was before the Elon mania. It was just only the space nerds knew about Elon by then. So he got on stage 2016 and he started talking about, well, it's inevitable that as a species we're going to die. So I'm going to try and do something about it. And I think we should go and colonize Mars. And like that, monotone just sort of appeared on stage. And he revealed the design of the Raptor engines, which are used all the time now, and the engineering of the Starship, which he's actually made, and that he wanted this ship to have a capacity for at least 100 people, which it has, and that it would go to the moon, and over a number of years that he would put like 1,000 or 10,000 people there to develop this new colony. And at the time, the scientists were going, this is preposterous, you can't do this. And he has delivered on every single thing, bar he wants to terraform Mars, which is terraform Mars means that you do this massive explosion, you change the atmosphere to put oxygen in the air for us, which is ethically, I think, a dodgy area, which is what the scientists were giving out about. But yeah, he was like from here to where Kate is.
Oh, a few feet away from
you. A few feet away. And very unassuming, just like it was sort of like the warm-up guy who was testing the mic in terms of charisma on stage.
It's always the way, isn't it?
Isn't it? Amazing.
Unbelievable. Well, listen.
Can I plug my new TED Talk?
Yes, I saw this!
Did you like
it? On your Instagram. Amazing. Tell people about it.
So I got to Bulgaria in April, as you do. And so I did a TED Talk back in 2014 and I've really waited. I've been waiting years to do it again, to talk about like why I want to do this mad thing. And it's all about, like for me, it's about this is my passion, right? But it doesn't, but what I'm trying to say is space just happens to be my passion. So what's your passion? You were talking about passions earlier, mm-hmm. right? So why is it that some people pursue their passion and others don't? And I think it's about aligning your values with the things you care about. And making sure that every day you work, your values are reflecting in your work. And then secondly, really thinking about the stories you tell yourself in terms of, for me, it was like, oh, sure, I'm only Niamh. I'm from Dundalk. Someone like me couldn't possibly have a career in space. And I had to do a lot of work on myself to change my perspective. And it comes from surrounding yourself with people that push you, staying out of your comfort zone. Botswana, Antarctic, Arctic. I never thought someone like me, Jennifer, would ever be that kind of person. And so my talk is about how I broke down my own perspectives, how I shifted my perspectives, and how moments come and you can choose to be brave or you can choose to regret it for the rest of your life. And a moment happened to me and I chose to be brave. And that's what my TED Talk's about.
It's amazing. It's on your Instagram if people want to go.
It's on my Instagram, yeah. And just go to TED Talks and just type in Niamh Shaw and you'll find it.
Show off.
I know, it's great. Although I only have a couple of hundred views and
I love it. But we need to get that up because it's amazing. Niamh, thanks for coming in. And if there's any businesses out there, any companies, any person personally want to help you get to the Antarctica so she can come back and tell us what the hell is really, really going on and give us all a proper dose of perspective, you can go to Niamh's Instagram at...
Yeah. Dr._Niamh_Shaw.
Doctor showing off again. Dr. Niamh Shaw, thank you so much for coming in.